sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Sleeping with the fishies. Hello, I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle.
And where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation.
We go to the Bible, we go to science.
And we go to the bottom of the deep blue sea if we have to.
Do we really?
You know, Darwin would have been smart and had a deep sea fishing net as he traveled on that beagle. He probably never would have come up with this theory.
You think so? Why?
There's a deep sea fish. I bet you know what I'm referring to.
Oh.
It is the famous...
Coelacanth.
Coelacanth.
Okay.
The living fossil, sometimes called, or...
Not talking about me, I hope.
No. Nor your relatives. It's, or the fish, sometimes called the fish that supposedly walked. At least that's what he was referred to long ago.
Well, coelacanth, of course, many of our listeners have heard that word before and are vaguely familiar with this fossil fish that suddenly
appeared. Here, let me show them a picture here.
Okay, there it is. Now you can see it's kind of a bony. Actually, they have found for years, they have found fossil impressions of this fish from as far away as Spitsbergen, way in the north, you know, north of Norway, down to Brazil, to New Jersey and even
Bavaria
and England, as quite a few specimens were found in England. And these specimens were known to people like Thomas Huxley, who was Darwin's great supporter, had it illustrated in his book.
Yeah, he even championed it as they championed it. It's as the link, a missing link in their time, because they thought it showed in its anatomy, because there were so many fossils of this fish, they thought it showed the development of legs. Like somehow this coelacanth, when it would... time to lay eggs and reproduce, it somehow get on the old mud flat and get on land and go air. Boy, look at them trees. I'm gonna exploit this land. We're gonna take over. And that was 350 million years ago.
Devonian era, supposedly 350 million years ago, these fossils were dated. And often thought of, because it's kind of a bony, the fossil is a bony-looking fish, and it does have unusual fins, funny-looking fins. And
looks old.
They looked like, well, you know, kind of like legs or something like that. Maybe this is the missing link.
It was exploited to be the progenitor of all organisms that were of land, even of the human race, the Columbus, so to speak, of the marine life that somehow got on board, got on land, and started to breathe.
The searcher for new horizons.
New horizons.
That's right. And, you know, the progenitor of the human race. And
good old coelacanth.
Exploiting the land and...
Where did global warming come from? Exploited the human race.
Yeah, okay.
Must be a European coelacanth.
white males. Okay, go ahead.
Well, the coelacanth, it was thought to be the missing link, and so they would put it on the earliest exhibits, the Darwinian exhibits that are found around the area. They'd try to popularize them in the British Museum of Natural History and others, and they would have them on display, and the little kids would come there and press their noses against the glass displays.
The teachers were explaining, now look, children, this is an example, very well could be, of the missing link between fish and land-dwelling animals.
This is great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa years and years ago. He kind of had he looked old, but he was fossilized. That's about the only thing in common he had with the real great-great-great-grandpa.
Now, here is where the drama just gets too good to be true. This is like in the 1930s, 1938 to be specific. And really, right while they had this British Museum display going on of the coelacanth, something happened off the coast of East Africa. What was it?
It wasn't, well, East Africa, Southeast Africa. It was actually off of East London. And I was in East London just this last January, staying on a mission trip.
Oh.
It's a nice port town right on the Indian Ocean side of the bottom of Africa, in South Africa.
Okay.
And just off that a coast town back in 1938, a strange-looking fish was found in the nets. It was decomposing, you know, highly aromatic.
Oh, yes, fragrant, okay.
Very fragrant, but it was examined by the curator of the East London Museum, Margaret Courtney Latimer, and a professor, J.C.B. Smith of Rhodes University, who identified it. And it kind of was just one of those freak coincidences.
Yes.
You have the fossil on display in the British Museum, and you have a living specimen on the table, so to speak, being dissected down in South Africa at the identical time.
And there it was, and it was pronounced by these researchers as they examined it. They declared it to be a coelacanth, the missing link. And, of course, mouths wide open and eyes aghast and everything. What in the world is a missing link doing being alive today, 350 million years too late?
Man, that's a tough conundrum for them. How can this fossil be alive? You know, it really is a story of the fish they wished stayed dead.
Would you please go back to a fossil?
Yeah. Well, there are some problems, you know. That began to, this fish that was supposedly the progenitor of all terrestrial life, the life that leaves the water and enters the land, it was supposed, you know, it walked, it talked, it crawled on its mind like a reptile.
Yeah. Yeah, right, kind of a fair attitude, you know, fairground attitude. Come and see the missing link right here for four bits.
And what did that say, the fishing link that walked and talked? What did it say? It said, I'm still alive. Fooled you.
You know, they looked very carefully at the coelacanth, and a couple of things immediately stood out as they studied it. The four fins that they thought were legs were four fins.
Ouch. Ouch. Oh, man, mean all we thought they were fossilized bone, just big fins?
They're just simply fins that look like any other kind of fins, pretty much like those of a fairground goldfish, for that matter.
Well, fairground goldfish. I could just see it now. Some kid at home wondering if his goldfish is going to jump on the rug and take over the living room with the remote. Hey, give that back to me.
The other awkward thing that was obvious is that this was a deep sea net that picked this thing up, this coelacanth up, 200 meters below the surface.
Let's see. Wait. The people in Murphy need to know how far 200
meters
is.
That's 600. That's two football fields. Okay.
Two football fields below the sea. That's deep.
600 feet.
Really deep.
And that's really deep. In fact, that's so far down that any animal that is used to living down there, including a coelacanth, when it comes up, very likely runs into the possibility of just kind of going by decompression. I mean,
exploding all over.
Yeah, very messy.
Coelacanth kind of spread.
In any case, it's certainly toast. And certainly, your what's trumpet. The problem with that? Yeah, what's the problem with that?
Well,
for their theory,
how can a fish who lives deep down?
Deep.
We're talking deep, really deep.
Way down.
How can a fish that lives really deep be the one that climbs up on the mud flats to reproduce and live without exploding on the way up?
Yeah.
And you know,
or even feeling comfortable doing it, where it feels comfortable when it's down there with a lot
and
of
how
water
do the,
pressure.
How do the ones up there know they got to go deep down there to survive where their natural habitat is?
Mm-hmm. In 1986, Hans Frick of the Max Planck Institute for Animal Behavior was able to get underwater cameras right down to where they live and actually photographed, videotaped these fish, the coelacanth, and found out that no, it doesn't walk along the floor bottom with these fins. It swims with them.
Oh,
isn't that unusual?
Oh, what a novel idea. A coelacanth actually uses those fins for swimming and not walking on the ocean bottom? Ay, ay, ay.
So the problem, of course, was that they had preconceived ideas. They assumed that fish developed into land dwelling. Somewhere along the line, there were some brave fishy that decided, I think I will explore the new worlds.
The new worlds of this time were land masses.
The last great frontier where no fish has gone before.
And we're going to start the game of baseball.
Yeah, and hit the ball out there. And you're talking about a Gary Larson
cartoon hit. It shows the fish wishing they had a bat or a ball.
To go up into the land. And so what caused the fish to go up in the land? Nothing, actually, because there's no real fossil evidence that that took place. And here was an embarrassment to the evolution community in the 1930s when this missing link that had lived 350 million years prior showed up without any significant changes from the fossil. It hadn't evolved in 350 million years.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. If evolution is to happen gradually and you use this as your laboratory example, boy, is gradual slow.
Yeah,
it adds a whole new meaning to the word gradual.
Slow.
When the fossils that are supposedly 350 million years old and the living relatives are identical.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that really is a bummer if you really believe in evolution. I don't know. Where do you turn from that, Stan?
Where do you turn? Well,
I think we have a torpedo text.
Well,
just in good humor.
We're having a fun one here. The coincidence of the story of the coelacanth being found right when the British Museum had that display on just strikes me as the beginning of Jonah verse 17, the beginning of the text just sounds so good to me. It says, but the Lord provided a great fish.
A great fish. We love the coelacanth. It's a great fish.
It's a great. And the Lord provided it just at the right time. He said to this, in fact, a little later in Jonah, it says, and the Lord spoke to the fish. And the fish kind of obeyed the Lord.
Vomited up whatever.
Vomited up Jonah in that case. But in this case, the Lord spoke to that coelacanth and said, you see that net over there?
Go give your life to that net.
Go give your life. And that's what I want you to do. And the timing is obvious. The Lord wanted to show that the preconceptions of the evolutionists, including the high society ones that ran museums and so forth, needed to relook at their theories of missing links and so forth, that fish evolved into people. The common belief of evolutionists today.
Yeah, the real fish tale in the story of the whopper that got away was the theory of evolution that got away. Oh, man, we can't use this one. Now, a missing link got away because it proved not to be missing after all.
Now, what did the teachers tell those kids that had those noses pressed up to the glass after they found out? And it made headlines. It was the big deal. Missing link discovered.
Yeah. What do they tell them? They tell them, we don't know. I don't know.
And coelacanth obviously was not the missing link. And, it would have been nice for them to have thought maybe there aren't any missing links, or maybe the missing links are missing because they aren't. They don't exist.
They don't exist. And therefore,
the chains don't list.
And the chains exist. There's no links. There's no chains.
Yeah.
The only thing that's really missing here, or the only thing that's really not connected here, aren't the links. It's the screws. There's some loose screws, not missing links there. And the loose screw is the evolutionary imagination, which can put legs on fish and have it become the progenitor of all terrestrial creatures. Now, that's a loose screw and a few missing links of reason.
You know, there are a number of fossils, John, that exist today of animals that really haven't changed too much, like alligators, crocodiles, sharks. A number of fish have not changed in 300, 400, 500 million years. And, it's kind of hard to explain.
Well, obviously, the explanation comes in the number of years, Stan.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about if you get the years out of there, all of a sudden you can have great explanations for why these creatures exist.
Mm-hmm.
They were made by him in their kind, and they've been around ever since the beginning.
Exactly right. So, dear listeners, we want to encourage you to believe the biblical account of creation, to believe that we have been here, yes, about 6,000 years, as
God
has said.
Give or take a few.
Give or take a few years, not 4.3 billion years. as evolutionists say, indeed we are, as God has said, created, and it was good when God created us.
Thanks for listening to Sync the Beagle. If you have comments, questions, or requests for Dr. John or Dr. Stan, you can email them at hudaho@mindspring.com. That's Hudaho, H-U-D-A-H-O, @mindspring.com. Be sure to listen in next time to Sync the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.